Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Let me read the text and then we'll get into the message this morning. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Let's pray together. Father, we give thanks this morning that we can run because you've drawn us with cords of love. We thank you for this morning for our merciful high priest, this one who ever lived to make intercession for us, and that you're God who speak, you're a speaking God. And so we would ask you this morning, speak, Lord, in the stillness, that your will might be done in the midst to the praise and glory of your grace. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Just kind of review of where we are now. These last couple of days, we've been looking at this passage. And the first day we saw, Paul said in this passage, he won't make void the grace of God. The grace of God, he said, it's not made void in his life. Grace had brought a transition, a transformation in Paul's life. And we saw the first day that the revelation of God's saving grace brings you to a personal identification with Christ. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. So the revelation of saving grace is a personal identification with Christ. That as I look at the cross, I see my sin, but also I see my Savior. If you remember in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel had disobeyed God, and God told Moses to put a serpent on the pole. Well, they were being bit by serpents. And so God told Moses to put a serpent on the pole. Well, if you're being bit by snakes, you're not interested in looking at a snake. But as they looked at that snake on the pole, they were healed. As you look at the cross, behold your sin, you'll see your Savior. And Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. That one who hangs on the cross in my place, condemned he stood, he is my punishment. And so Paul identified, and we saw that identification begins at a cross. The last tree is the tree of Calvary. The first tree, Adam died. The tree, the second Adam, came, and it's a tree of life. And to look is to live. To identify is to enter in to life itself. And so Paul says there was a revelation of grace, personal identification with Christ at the cross. The hymn writer says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. You can't be a proud person and come to the cross, because at the cross the heart is broken. Love so amazing, so divine, the only intelligent response is my life, my soul, my all. So the revelation of grace, saving grace, is identity with Christ at the cross. He's my sacrifice. He's our sin bearer. He's our substitute. He's our Savior. What a privilege that we can come to one who loved us. And then we saw yesterday, not only was there a revelation of saving grace, but we saw yesterday that Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. The reality of saving grace is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not just my believing in what he's done, it's that he's come now in me. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, we saw. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God comes in. The life of God in the soul of man. Christ in you, the hope of glory, he says in Colossians. And so it's the reality of saving faith. What is the reality? That I have been changed by a new life. Paul said, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. You know, the glorious thing about the Christian life is not us trying to become someone. It's allowing someone to be all that he is in and through us. to the praise and glory of God's grace. Christianity is a life of freedom. Every life without Christ is man in bondage to himself. Self-love, self-centered, self-seeking, and will self-destruct. The only answer for the self-life is Christ's life. And so Paul says, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. And this morning, we want to see not only is there a revelation of saving grace and the reality of saving grace, but how do we live daily? How do you and I live daily? Well, we rest. The rest of grace. What is the rest of grace? Look what Paul says. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. So the rest of faith, what is the rest of faith? Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God. The Christian life is a life of rest. You come to rest in Jesus' blood and righteousness alone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. In Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And so Paul says, there's the rest of faith. I live by faith. The life which I now live. It's not a life when I'm going to live when I get to glory. No, the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. The Christian life is a life of faith. Paul says, you're saved by grace through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. The fact that you and I today are Christian, God gave us the gift to trust him. And so it's not my faith in my faith. It's my faith that he's given me in the faithfulness of God. He who spared not his own son, shall he not also with him freely give you all things? And so you can live today, and we can live today by faith in the Son of God. And so it's a rest of faith. And Paul says, the just shall live by faith. It's not only a saving faith, but it's a faith that I live. It's a living faith. And a living faith that allow you to be all that God want you to be and allow you to be free in your personality. One thing that the Christian is not, they're not in bondage to themselves. And they're not in bondage to be someone else. They are free to be what God created them to be. The personality has been set free. The greatest thing that, or the greatest experience that you can have is a free personality. We heard the testimonies last night. Young men freed from themselves. Why? Because they've found freedom in Christ. When the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. You're free. You're free from public opinion. You're free from performance before others. You're free from your own personal problems. Why? Because you come and realize that he is the answer for my life. And you have the privilege. We have the privilege to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for you. The freedom, the rest of faith. But then it's a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. You walk not by sight. You don't walk by what you see. You walk with who you don't see. You're like Moses. You endured as seeing him who is invisible. You trust the promises of God. And then you go beyond God's promises. You trust the one who promised. I may have shared this with you in years past, but this thought often comes to me when I think about faith is we have our first child. My wife and I, first child was Brittany, and Brittany was 6 months old when we came here. And after my 3 years at school, we went back to Atlanta to move, and I began ministry there. And I remember Brittany may have been 5 years old or so, but we were going to the Atlanta Zoo. And we had Brittany and the other two children were in the stroller, and Brittany was walking with Dad and had my hand. And then we were walking by some animals, and Brittany became frightened. And I can't remember what the animals were, but she was afraid, and she began to cry and pull on Dad's leg. And so I picked her up and put her on my chest and pat her, and she quit crying. Well, she didn't know that if the animal got out, Dad had to run too, son, darling. But she quit crying. She wasn't afraid anymore. Why? Because Dad had her. And so she was resting on Dad's chest, and doesn't matter what the animal. The circumstance didn't change. The animal was still there, but she was in Dad's arm. Her trust was in her dad. The trust that you and I have is a loving Heavenly Father and a Savior who will never leave you or forsake you. So you can rest. You can cast all your cares upon Him. In the storms of life, you can lay down on in the circumstance. Why? Because you can rest on Him. You can rest. You can rest your cares upon Him. You can tell Him all your problems. You can, in the midst of the storm, still sleep on His breast. And it's a beautiful picture. It began to teach me as my daughter was, as I thought about my daughter laying on me, it began to teach me, as a father have compassion over his children, so do the Lord have compassion over them that fear Him. The Lord jealously desire you to trust Him. He longs for you to trust Him with every detail of your life. He longs for you to bring every care to Him. He longs for you to allow Him to order your steps according to His word. He longed to be your shepherd, to lead you in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He's going to lead you. Why? Because His name is at stake. He wants to prove to you, I'm faithful and true. He wants to prove to you in a very dark place, in a difficult place, that I never leave you. I promise never to leave you. Never to leave you alone. He's a shepherd that wants to prove to you, you can trust me. It doesn't matter what the circumstance, He wants to prove to us. I don't know where you are now in your Christian walk, but He wants you to trust Him in the details of your life. You may not be a Christian this morning. You may be in the valley of decision, and you toss to and fro. You don't know what to think about these meetings. You don't know what to think about Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to know, He wants you to just trust Him. You may not understand all, but He wants you to understand Him, that I am a shepherd that laid down my life for sheep. And if you're willing to trust me. And so it becomes a walk of faith, a walk of trusting this invisible God who has proven Himself to be faithful. And then it's obedient faith. It's a faith that obeys. It's not just a faith, but it's a faith that lives obedient. You know, if you're going to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to walk in by faith, there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to choose against. Why? Because out of your obedience to Him, you have to say no to other things. You'll be asked sometime by your friends, oh, why can't you do that? You said, I can. Well, why don't you do it? Because I love my shepherd who loved me, and that doesn't honor Him, and it's not best thing for me because He said, don't do that. And so you're not legalistic. I can't do that. You can. Well, why don't you do it? Because I love my shepherd who loved me. And so I choose not to do that. I choose to obey His word. Why? Because this is what the word of God says. I do this because God said, well, why do you have to go home when your parents say, come on? Because the word of God said, children, obey your parents. Why do you have to read the Bible? Because man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so your answer becomes an intelligent answer. It's not that you're legal. You have to. You're under some law or you have to do some legal thing. You're in love. It was some 30-some years ago. I'm not going to go what number it was, but there was a young lady that I was desiring to marry. And you couldn't spend a few minutes with me before I start telling you about her. Why? Because I'm in love with her. And I'm going to marry her. If you love Jesus Christ and you know His love for you, you won't have any problem telling others that you belong to Him. Why? Because He have ravished your heart. And you're honored to live for His glory. And if others reject Him, you won't reject Him. Why? Because you love Him. You love Him because He first loved you. And His love has set you free. And you can trust Him when you can trust nobody else. We've been singing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our fears and grief to bear. And so He's a friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So it's obedient faith. It's a faith that enables you to obey. Why? Because the spirit of obedience is in you. Christ in you. It says in 1 John, you walk as Christ walked when He was in the world. Why? Because Christ in you will enable you to walk the way He walked. Remember that you are free. And if the Son sets you free indeed. You're not in any legal bondage. Well, I've got to go back. I've just left the Total His conference. Well, I got to go back and live for Christ. No, you don't got to do anything. You're going to do it. Why? Because he has set you free. And so it's not a law that you're trying to live by. It's a love that you walk with. You walk with this person. He's in you. And you're never alone. And in the very difficult place, Paul, in the 23rd Psalm, and I know many of you have read the 23rd Psalm, and the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because David, you're tough in the valley, you're a great king, you're a great fighter, you can handle things in the battle. No, it's not that. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. You're with me in the circumstance. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In the difficult place, God's going to prove to you and I, not a song that we sing, but a reality that we experience. I promise never to leave you. Never to leave you alone. Let me say this. In your walk with Christ, young people, there will be times that you can't walk with others. He's so jealous to prove to you that he loves you that you're going to have to walk that path with just him. Because he's going to prove to you that I promise never to leave you. So when you come in a difficult place and you're in a hard place and you can't explain what's going on in your heart, you can't explain your circumstances, you don't have an answer for the circumstances from a human standpoint, but you have the answer in you and the answer is with you. And he's going to prove to you in that hard place, I promise never to leave you, never to leave you alone. He wants to prove to us that he's faithful and true. And so it's a walk of faith, and it's a faith walk. And then the only way you and I can please God, Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. They that come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Let me warn you, I'm sure you know of this, there in your generation and in our country today, there's many people that are seeking Jesus, but they're not seeking him. They're seeking something out of his hand. They're not seeking God. They're seeking something from God. I want God because he's going to bless me. Well, you guys wouldn't be thinking about Mercedes, but some people want Mercedes and houses. You may, well, I'm going to follow Jesus if he give me a good boyfriend. Well, I'm going to follow Jesus if he makes do this for me. And so I'm following Jesus, but I'm trusting him for something. Don't seek his hand, seek his heart. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I want to give a verse to you. If you have, turn with me in the Psalm. This is a verse that have often helped me in the very difficult times of things. But in Psalm 84, well, I guess I wasn't right. But it's Psalm 80. I think it's Psalm 84. Where is it at here? All right. Verse 11. Look at Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold. God will embarrass you with his kindness and goodness. You don't have to seek something from him. Seek him. And no good thing will he withhold for them that walk up. What does it mean to walk uprightly with him? Trust him. Trust him with your yesterday. Trust him today. Trust him. Trust him with your life. Every detail of your life. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And how do you walk uprightly? You trust him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. They that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Not something from him, but seek him. There's a hymn writer that had a hymn said, "My goal is God himself. Not joy, not peace, not even blessing. Himself, my God, is his to take me there, not mine, but his, by any road, dear Lord, by any means." So don't let the era of our day, people seeking God as a means to their end. He becomes the spiritual genie that you call him when you need him and get back in your bottle. I'll call you tomorrow. Or I'm having my quiet time so I can have a good day. Well, God, I'm mad. I'm not going to have a quiet time anymore because you didn't do what I asked you to do in my prayer. So I ain't going to pray to you anymore for a week. You may not say that, but that's some of the thinking of people, that the Christianity that many want today is a Christianity that's a means to my end. He's not the spiritual Santa Claus. He's the holy shepherd that wants to prove to you and I that I have all of your needs. I'm concerned about all your needs, and I have all of your life under my control, and I'm concerned about every detail of your life. Our daughter Carmen, who just graduated from Liberty, and I remember when she became her senior year, and she was saying, "Oh, Dad, I'm not getting scholarships for colleges, and I'm really don't know if I'm going." I said, "Carmen, your mother and I was thinking about college before you could even spell college. Relax, darling. It's not your responsibility. Let me say this. Your life is not your responsibility. It's God. You can trust him with your future. You can trust him with your past. You can trust him with your present. And you can trust him with your future. Cast all your cares upon him." It's faith. And it's not passivity. Let me say this. It's not passivity, because to trust him with your life is to choose against your own natural tendencies. What are our natural tendencies? Is to take matters in our own hand. And so it's not a passivity. It's aggressive. You have to be aggressive against yourself. I have to say, "Wow, thou." You have to speak to your soul sometime. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God." Speak to your soul sometime. Why? Because sometimes your soul will get all frazzled. You have to speak to your soul. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" You have to take hold of your own emotions sometime and say, "Emotion, be still. Hope in God." "Well, we don't have a brain." "Well, then be quiet, my brain. I'm thinking about God." But the issue is, don't let your emotion control you. And it can happen. I remember playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and there was a guy named Mel Blunt. He was pretty good. So good that I didn't like playing against him. But you leave the huddle, and you don't want to run against Mel Blunt, but I have to pretend to Mel that I'm not afraid of him. And Mel was a friend of mine, but I had to leave the huddle like I can handle this matter. So I had to keep my head down, because I didn't want Mel to see my eyes. If he looked in my eyes, he'd see that, hey, I don't want to run this pattern. But my point was, the circumstance, the huddle, the play was called in the huddle. I had to face Mel Blunt. And so what did I do? I forgot about Mel Blunt. I ran my patterns. I came out, ran my pattern. Why? Because my responsibility was to run the pattern. It didn't matter if it was Mel Blunt or a grasshopper. Do what you're told to do in the huddle. Let me say this. Doesn't matter what the circumstance. Obey God. And let me say this. In your generation, some of you in this room may get the privilege to get a martyr's crown. It may cost you your life to follow Christ in this country one day. Everybody, you can't determine if you're going to get a martyr's crown. But some of you may get the privilege to do so. Why? Because some have given their life. And there are certain things, let me say this, young people, there are certain things that's not worth living for. And there are certain things that's worth dying for. If God give you the privilege to stand for him and give you the privilege to give your physical life for the glory of his name, it's an honor to do so. You may get the privilege in your generation. This is the day, if you're going to live by faith, this is not the day for the circle of the wagon. This is the day of the Daniels, the purpose in their heart not to defile themselves. This is the day for the Esthers to live for the glory of God in such a time as this. This is the day for the Joseph to live for the glory of God in the hard place. This is a day to put the stake down. As far as for me and my house, or as far as for me and my life, I'm going to honor God. And you have to make a decision. You have to decide, my life belongs to Christ, and compromise is not an option. The flavor of the day is compromise. You have to say, that flavor is not an option for me. By the grace of God, I'm going to live for the glory of God in the place that God have me. Put a stake down. Because many is waffling, and you have to choose. Will I stand by the grace of God, for the glory of God, in the hard place? How are you going to stand? I'm going to stand by faith. And when you've done all the stand, you'll stand there for. Stand on his promises and let him prove to you, I'm faithful. And he's able to turn the circumstance. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. Obedient faith. It's a joy. Well, why would a person live that like that? Why is this rest of faith? Why are you resting your life in all the circumstance upon the Lord Jesus, Wallace? Why would a person do that? Well, Paul tells us. Look what he says in verse 20 again. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a rest of faith, yes, but it's a rest in his love. Oh, love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul on thee. I give thee back the life I owe, and in thy depths it flow, may richer fuller be. It's a rest of faith because you're resting in the love of God. It's a rest in his love. My love, no, not our love. His love, not mine, the resting place. His truth, not mine, the tie. His love. You can love him because he first loved you, and you rest in his love. Oh, love that will not let me go. He's bound himself to you for all eternity, and his love won't let you go. And so Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And so there's intimacy with this Savior. It's not only dependence upon the shepherd, but it's intimacy with the shepherd. And remember, even as you serve the Lord, there's a verse that always jumped out to me when I'm thinking about serving God in the places that God have me, and as God have you in the schools and your high schools and your colleges or in your community, and as you seek to serve the Lord in ways that he have you serving him, just remember this verse. It's a good one for me that helped me quite often. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1. The verse says, we then are workers together with him. Workers together with him. You're not working for the Lord. You're laboring with him. It's a wonderful privilege to realize that as you serve the Lord, you're serving with him. He's in you, and you are with him, and he's working in you, and he's going to work through you in the particular circumstance of your life. It's grace all the way. And so the labor is a labor of love. It's a work of faith, and it's a labor of love. You love him, and you speak to others about him. You pray to him. You pray for your own needs. You pray for the needs of others. You speak about the lost. You live in such a way that others ask the question. Peter said, always be ready when they ask you the hope that's in you. You know a great witness you can be? Let your life in your particular circumstance demand questions. You live for the glory of God, and folks who are not living for the glory of God will ask you, why do you do what you do? You want a pulpit in your classroom? Be different. You want a pulpit on your sports team? Be different. You want a pulpit in the cheerleading group? Be different. Just do what honors God in the particular circumstance. You want to have a pulpit with your fraternity or sorority group? Just be different. Just honor Christ. Do what would honor Christ around. And people will ask you, why do you act like that? Then you tell them. Always be ready to give account of the hope that's within you. with meekness and lowliness. Always be ready. Why? Because our lives would demand questions. The two young men who gave their testimony last night, they went back and circled. I bet people who knew them before would ask, why? What happened? You get a chance to share your testimony. What happened? Oh, good. You have an hour? I've got time. My brothers asked me why. Uh-oh. And they say, quit preaching to me. I said, well, you ask a question. Let me say this. Walk with Christ, and the world will question why you do what you do. And you'll have an opportunity to not only speak with your life, but your lips will be able to testify. I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. What you've committed your life to him. You didn't commit this or that. You've committed yourself to him. You belong to him. What a wonderful privilege, young saints. You belong to the God of glory. And Paul said, I live by faith in someone who loved me. It's a personal. He loved me. Intimacy with Christ. And that's what you and I have, the privilege to walk in an intimate relationship with a living Lord who wants you to know him intimately. Let me say this. You can know Jesus Christ as deeply as you want to. As deeply as you want to know him, you can know him. You set the limits. But he'll draw you. If you want to know him intimately, he wants you to know him. And he's drawing you. Why? Because he will bring you as close to him as you want to be. He'll reveal to you as much of himself as you want to know. There's no limit on how well you can know him. Why? Because he wants you to know him. And he wants you to have an intimacy that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Now notice, you're not seeking an experience. But let me say this, the Christian life is an experience. But don't seek an experience. Seek him and he'll give you an experience with him. But he wants you. The Christian life is just not doctrinal truth that we believe, things that we believe. It's a person we know. And that's why the hymn writer can say, beyond the sacred page, we seek thee, Lord. It's not just the letter. It's beyond the sacred page. We want to know him beyond the words to know the God of the word. And let me say this. Even as you trust God's promises, don't trust the promises of God. Trust the God who promised. It's a relationship, not just what he said, but the who said the what. I trust him. And he keeps his promises. Why? Because he's faithful and true. And so Paul says, I don't trust, frustrate the grace of God. He loved me. And so Paul goes back to how he began. He loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is reminded that he's my sacrifice. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life. Yes, I've been crucified with Christ, and he loved me. And so he's the good shepherd. He loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in this loving sacrifice. He intercedes for me. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Not only did he die to save us and he's risen, but he ever lived to make intercession for you. He prays for his church. He ever lived to make intercession for us. He provides for me. I love him because he provides for me. He gives me everything that pertains to life and godliness in the knowledge of him. 2 Peter 1:3 says, he gives everything that pertains to life and godliness in the knowledge of him. Everything. Doesn't matter what you need. Emotional needs, he'll meet them for you. Physical needs, he'll meet you. Mental needs, he meets you. All that you need, his hand will provide it. Great is thy faithfulness. Faithfulness. You know, I often read various backgrounds of hymns, and if you read hymns or if you study hymns like that, you begin to see that these hymns that we sing sometimes are experiences that God was able to trust people with hard things and prove to them that he was sufficient. Why? Because the Bible, there's a song that says, some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, all through the blood, some through great suffering, but God gives them a song. In the night season, all the day long, all the way, my Savior lead me. In the night season of your life, he'll give you a song. He'll meet you in the hour of your need. You don't have to look for him. He'll be there. Why? Because he promised never to leave you. So let me tell you, this life that we're talking about is a loving experience. A loving experience with a loving shepherd who wants you and I to identify with him. And how do you identify with him? At the cross. You cannot live the Christian life unless you're willing to give up your life. It's an exchange life. Your life for his life. Is that fair? No, it's amazing grace. I'm glad God didn't deal with me fairly. I'd be in hell today. So he didn't give me what I deserve. It's an exchange life. My life of sin for his life of obedience. It's an exchange life. It begins with a cross. And then it's not just an exchange, it's an indwelling. Christ comes in you and changes you from within. He gives you a power that you never had before. And he gives you a purpose that you can't find in the world. It's a new birth. It's a new life. And it starts in the inside. And then it's a new walk. You live by faith. You learn to trust this invisible one. And the word of God will become a living word to you. And you won't have to be forced to read the Bible. You're going to want to read the Bible because it's his love story. And all the ones who love him love what he says in his word. The word become a living book to you and will continue to be a living book to you. And then you have a living experience every day of your life. Christianity is a life of intimacy with Jesus Christ. Paul said, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. I think there's a hymn. If you have a hymnal, if not, find one. But get the one of the blue hymnals right there. And I want us to turn to page 169. 169. I think this hymn gives a real picture of this union with Christ. We've been talking about union with Christ, identity with him at the cross. The indwelling of Christ in us, the dependence upon Christ. We've been talking about union with Christ. And I think this hymn, this hymn on hymn 167, let me just read it. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Stanza 2. Oh, how great thy loving kindness, vast and broader than the sea. Oh, how marvelous thy goodness, lavished all on me. Yes, I rest in thee, beloved. Know what wealth of grace is thine. Know thy certainty of promise and have made it mine. Verse 3. Simply trusting thee, Lord Jesus, I behold thee as thou art. And thy love, so pure, so changeless, satisfies my heart. Satisfies its deepest longing. Meet, supplies its every need. Compass me around with blessing. Thine is love indeed. Stanza 4. Ever lift thy face upon me as I work and wait for thee. Resting neath thy smile, Lord Jesus. Earth, dark shadows flee. Brightness of my Father's glory, sunshine of my Father's face, keep me ever trusting, resting. Fill me with thy grace. I think the hymn brings out the point of what we're trying to talk about this morning. It's a rest of faith. It's a rest in the love of God. Oh, love that will not let you go. Young saints, the glorious privilege we have in this dark and perverse generation, we have the privilege to shine as lights in the world. You have the privilege in this generation to see Jesus Christ shine through you in a world that need to see reality. And if there's going to be reality, it has to be in the saints. So you have a privilege to live with a new identity. Live with the new indwelling, Christ in you. Live with new dependency. And live with constant intimacy. Jesus Christ is your life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we give thanks this morning for this amazing grace that you've lavished upon us in Christ. And I pray that you would enable these young men and women by your grace to walk in light of so great salvation. We thank you for our time together this morning in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.